Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the street telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Tell you he can save. The Lord can save. Ooh, he can save. Save your soul. I tell you, through Jesus Christ, your life can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting joy and peace within your whole soul. Ooh. And in many ways, I feel just like that old man. Born in the country, raised on a farm. No money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, mama and daddy raised me up on the real deal. And that's God Almighty. And sometimes when I sing about Jesus and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. As I listen to that song, every time I hear it, it just moves me because there's so many significant points that he bring out. And he said something, say, I feel like that individual, nobody, when people don't listen. When you reach out and you say, hey, I have this show God has blessed me to do, jump on. And they don't jump on. Now, I get people got their time and energy spent in different directions. But sometimes you feel like, God, I want to do more. I want to, matter of fact, my elder said that I always mention, it's like I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. Yet I have all these different ministries, God, that open the doors for me. But I just want people to know about Christ. I just want people to find peace and comfort and joy in their soul. There are so many people walking around, not just the homeless that we see on the corner, but they're homeless within their spirit. There's no home within their heart. You see, you can have a house, but love makes it a home. And there's so many people who don't have love, so many people that do not have joy, so many people in such distress today, they don't have peace. And even though I may even concur with the song that I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody, well, I know this must be true. I am God's masterpiece, designed and chosen to do his will. And that's going to propel me forward, just like that man. I walked from street to street, corner to corner, door to door. I want to move in that direction to be the blessing that God would use to bless somebody else. No one should have to feel that they are nobody. Nobody should have to feel that way. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. See, when we share this knowledge, it is life unto us as we find it, and medicine to all our flesh. Hallelujah. That's why the whole scripture in Proverbs 4:20-22 said, my son, tend to my words. Incline thy ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Life. Life should be an experience that every human being would value and appreciate. But there are so many people, if they're not taking lives, others' lives are taking their own. And if not necessarily physically, but moving in that destructive path that caused them to go into alcoholism, promiscuous behavior, drugs, crime, they're lost. But I come today in prayer, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to ask that every human being, because you said you wish that none should perish, that everyone should have everlasting life. I pray right now, Father God, for the lives of every human being on this planet. Father, the elderly, the mature adult, the middle-aged adult, the young adult, the teenager, the adolescent, the toddler, the newborn and the unborn. I'm praying, Father God, that they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I'm praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm praying, Father God, that they will be able to move in the direction that you called them to go when you designed the plan for all our lives. None should perish. None should perish. I'm praying, Father God, for anyone in need, Father God, a healing, not just with their flesh. That even though I always speak about every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, and system will operate in a healthy divine condition where no sickness and disease will live in their body. And they would operate in the intention that you designed it from day one. Because when Jesus had those 39 stripes on his back, it encompassed all the sickness and disease known to man. But Father God, people need healing of the heart. People need healing of the mind. People need healing in their emotions. They need healing in their relationships. I'm praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for this healing right now, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, that families would come together and walk in the love that you intended us to walk in, Father God. Not the Hollywood version of love, but that love that is patient. Because that patience you have displayed with us, despite our frailties and weakness, you start off every day showing us you are patient with us, even when we fail at any given moment. Your love creates joy and peace. Father God, it helps us, Father God, to not to be pride-minded, arrogant, or rude. Father God, your love, Father God, helps us to not be so self-seeking and not be so quick to keep records of wrong, because we begin to rejoice in your truth and not in evil. Well, Father God, we would be slow to anger. And because of this, Father God, our love will always want to protect, always build hope, always develop trust, and always willing to preserve the love that you provide for us that never fails. In this, Father God, we know then we can bear the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, patience, mercy, grace, forgiveness, and self-control. Oh, Father God, that all is done through faithfulness to you, as you've been so faithful to us. So I thank you, Father, as I go forward today, and you use this vessel as you use this vessel today, Lord, let me speak the words that will help us, Father God, to find the courage and the confidence in you to go forward, Father God, with the plan you have for our life. Let us have ears to hear. Let us have a heart to believe. Let us have a mind to receive that which we need to be able to discern through knowledge and wisdom of your word to help us, Father God, to be a light in the darkness of this world. I thank you, Father God, for hearing our prayers. I thank you, Father God, for always listening to our prayers. And I thank you, Father God, for answering our prayers as they align themselves with your will. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Father God. I just want to praise you, Father God. I want to thank you, Father God. I want to say hallelujah to you, Father God. I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Past, present, and future, you have blessed us in so many ways. So many ways, Father God. You are truly an amazing Father. Truly an amazing Father. All the gifts you give us, Father God, is beyond comprehension. But that's what your love is about. It's beyond man's thoughts. So I praise you, Father God. I thank you. I thank you. Well, as always, I'd like to start off with a few quotes of people who have been blessed to come up with thoughts or ideals that allow them to share with us something to inspire, to motivate, or encourage us. Today's quote is, show up in every single moment like you meant to be there. Don't be one who kills your dream more than failure will. Inhale confidence and exhale doubt. People who repeatedly attack your confidence and self-esteem are quite aware of your potential. And when you come to serve, come to serve, not to be served. Your need to be a people pleaser will fade like smoke from a cigarette, leaving you with a new sense of purpose. In all these quotes, the point is that we have to rely on the confidence that God gives us, with that God confidence to allow us to move forward, to move in the vision and the plan that he designed for our life. Let us not be the one that caused our dreams to fall because we get too caught up in killing our own dreams. Let us exhale confidence. Let us breathe out the breath that God put in us, and let us inhale confidence and exhale doubt. Let us exhale doubt, fears that try to, terror, fear to try to take over. Let us move forward in the confidence and the courage of God. And as he said, we know that people will attack us, persecute us, come after us. And sometimes we will be the same. But we must move away from that so we can truly become aware of the potential that God put in us. This will give us a new sense of purpose. You see, the scripture tells us in Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Acts 13:40 tells us, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated, untrained, it's been stopped. They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. See, he is the author and finisher of our faith. When we move in Jesus, we can look like we're formally educated in the Word of God. We can look like we have knowledge and wisdom that many people would not think we have. See, there's a different level of confidence that we move in. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we constantly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Once we recognize the power that God is the one who puts the Holy Spirit in us, and he tells us that greater is he that's in us that's in the world, we begin to recognize the power of God and not the power of ourselves. We move away from that self-confidence, that ego, into the confidence that God has instilled in us. And in Proverbs 14:26, it tells us, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. See, this just doesn't move this within us, but our children, our descendants can pick up and grow with this as we continue to grow. So as always, I like to share a little story with the hope that we gain some insight to what is being presented out of the story. This is the potato, egg, and coffee beans. There once was a little boy named John, who lived in a beautiful home with his parents. One day, his father finds him crying as if something was wrong. John says meekly, I have so many problems in life. Sound like that brother in the song. And talked about his problems. Well, John's father patiently listened to him. Remember, this is love, patience. Then the father brings a bowl and places the potato and an egg and some coffee beans in it. He asks John to touch and feel the ingredients in the bowl. Then tell him what he feels about each. John described how he feels about each one of them on touching them. The father smiles and asks John to place them all in three different bowls and pour water in them. He then boils them all. After a few minutes, the father turns off the stove and places all the bowls on the counter to cool them down. Hallelujah. Excuse me. And when they had cooled down, John's father asked him to touch them once again and steal the egg, the potato, and the coffee beans. John has a different answer this time. As he said, the potato skin is easy to peel and it has turned very soft. The egg has hardened and there is fresh coffee aroma coming from the beans. Listening to John, his father smile tells him how the potato, the eggs, and the coffee bean react to adverse situations. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. And here's where we gain and we grow from the scripture of the word. See, there will always be days that problems don't exist. There will never be days where problems don't exist in our lives, because life is all about problems and solutions. However, when we accept that it is not the problem that's our issue, but how we respond to the problem will determine what kind of solutions we will see. For you see, the potato had become soft, weakened. The egg turned very strong, ready for new purpose. And the coffee bean had changed from its form completely, adaptable, during their testing time in the boiling water. You see, Charles Swindell says, life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react. We must learn to react in a more proactive way and not a reactive way, in the sense of just moving in a direction that we have no foundation. The father took time with his son to teach a lesson to prepare him for when situations come up. His reaction would not be negative, but it would be proactive and respond in an appropriate way. This moves us right into our show. Don't cast away your confidence. You see, last week we spoke about not casting away our confidence in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or ourselves. We were provided with a simple definition of confidence as a feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or trust something. And in addition, they elaborated on the word that states that there are five perspectives we can entertain about the word confidence. One, belief in self, a belief in your own ability to do things and be successful. Two, in others, the feeling that you can trust and believe in the ability and the good qualities of somebody or something else. Three, feeling certain, an impression that you are sure about. Four, trust, a response of reliance with blind faith no matter what happens or what comes your way. And five, secure, you have a sense of peace that surpasses all understanding. However, this week I would like to add an additional term to our lesson, often confused with confidence, but the word is courage. You see, often in the military, our soldiers are asked to perform a task for which someone has to be the first to execute it. What amazed me was that no matter how tough the soldier appeared to be in their presentation, Without failure, they seem to hesitate to participate. You see, I believe they are questioning in their mind, are they capable enough to do what has been asked for them to do? My question would be, what keeps them from not stepping up to the plate? You see, confidence gives us a sense that we can surely overcome. However, for whatever reason, it varies with person to person, we begin to entertain our limitations, which if we don't try, we won't know if we can exceed. You see, however, courage brings a different twist to the situation. It is the level of boldness or spirit that enables us to face difficulties, storms, mountains, with a reverent form of fear. Why do I mention reverent fear? Because since the fall of man, fear has entered into our lives and is not going anywhere anytime soon. And to be honest about it, without the Lord, we would end up in this terror fear versus the reverent type fear that we all need to have at some point. You see, fear does have its place. We need to have a respectful understanding of it. Instead of it's crippling us, it's used to protect us. I understand the word tells us he did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. And this would be true because in that same period of time that fear entered, prior to that, there was no fear. But once sin happened, fear became a part of the human experience. However, if we are wise to listen to the Holy Spirit, we can get past the terror of fear and move towards operating in the reverent type fear that allows us to operate with caution, wisdom, insight, to make the most educated decision possible through the Holy Spirit. Once we understand the reverent type fear, we can put our confidence and courage to work. You see, author Gavin D. Becker, who wrote the number one bestseller, The Gift of Fear, taught many people how to understand fear and put it in perspective, which has saved countless lives. Understanding threats, dealing with people who refuse to let go, violence in the workplace, domestic violence, date stalking, violent children, attack on public figures. So you say, Brother Dave, why are you speaking about fear when we need to move in our confidence and courage? You see, we need to be aware of our fears, what generates our fears, how we deal with our fears, how fears decrease our confidence and courage instead of increasing us to be able to prepare ourselves with the right weaponry and armor for the battle. You see, like David, he had the right weapons for to be able to take down the giant because he was able to walk in the confidence and the courage that God would provide. So I want to share a little bit what reverent type fear looks like, that even when we face all types of mountains and challenges and storms, God having the confidence and the courage to do God's will come from the Holy Spirit because we have the right weaponry and we have the right level of confidence who will provide that. You see, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. He couldn't you men keep a watch for me for an hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fail into temptation. You see, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Again, may God's will be done. You see, Jesus, who is God manifested in the flesh, has some emotional, psychological, physical response to the task he must face. There was a reality that the flesh was experiencing a certain reverent type fear. Jesus' flesh didn't want to face this horrific death, but his soul, mind, will, and emotion would be willing to step up with the confidence and courage because he trusted in his heavenly Father plan to fulfill his will in the midst of the situation he was in. You see, the scripture tells us in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep his mind in perfect peace, whose mind stay on thee because he trusts him. You see, we must remember that Jesus said to the disciple, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is true for all of us. But as Jesus, we must be willing to move from the move within the reverent type fear in any given situation that we're placed in, because we have the confidence and the courage that God will provide, and that as Christ did, he knows that his heavenly Father will deliver. Here's where courage allows us to take the first step. It enables us to act not because we are not afraid within the flesh, not at all, but we are acting in faith despite of our fears. Too many people do not step up to the plate because they don't have the confidence and they don't have the courage to move forward. But the scripture tells us, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, remember, like confidence, the same is with courage. We all will be at a different level due to the many other factors that contribute to how we respond to any given situation, such as I mentioned, rearing, teaching, environment, multiple unpredictable situations that will manifest, which would influence us in a subtle way, which would determine one's capability to develop confidence and courage in self and others. So you saw this with Moses, Peter, David, and now Jesus. We now understand that we need to develop a strong foundation like Christ to have the confidence in God who will deliver us with the promises he provides. With this thought, we should approach our Heavenly Father with that childlike faith. We should center on the level of innocence. We should marvel about the power of our Heavenly Father's existence, even when our head knowledge doesn't understand. We should be trusting of our Heavenly Father always. We should have total dependence on our Heavenly Father to sustain us. Total dependence. Too often we operate out of an independent mindset that we don't need God until we're in trouble. But we should go to God no matter what the situation is, because God is concerned about every detail of our life. And despite of our frailties, our weakness of the flesh, God is creating us every day a new spirit. He's renewing our mind when we're being transformed each day, every day that we come to him. And because we're being transformed, we can move to have that childlike faith, like a father and a little son walking. That son totally is dependent on that father. We should be honest and bold to defend our Heavenly Father and what he can do in any given situation. See, God's promises never return void. His word is powerful. We should always have a level of curiosity when we seek the knowledge of our Heavenly Father, as the scriptures above told us, in order that we get to understand and have the wisdom that God wants us to have as he provides through the Holy Spirit to be able to meet the expectation of the mission, the assignment that God has put before us. And we must operate with an innate measure of faith that God will provide. Hallelujah. So this week, we left off with the intention of last to develop our confidence in God without being so preoccupied with approval of man or self-gratification. Well, we no longer want to be people pleasers, but more so to be God's servant that operates for his will, not our own. See, Galatians 1:10 tells us, "For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God." Or if I am trying to please man, and if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Let me point out what I mean by doing God's will and not my own. You see, as Jesus understood this when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he began to recognize, yes, his flesh was challenged. Maybe in his flesh, the confidence and the courage that he needed to step up, the flesh was rebelling. The flesh always rebelling against the Spirit. But he understood the power of the Holy Spirit. He understood the power of his Father. He understood what was in him was more greater than what was outside of him and what he was getting ready to face. So he moved in this confidence with the confidence of being sure of his Father, and at the same time moving in the courage that is necessary to fulfill his destiny. You see, during his ministry, Jesus used parables to teach people a lesson or to introduce them to the kingdom of God. They are basically basic stories about real-life scenarios that contain hidden messages. One such story is the parable of the talents. Hallelujah. In the Bible, the parable of the talent appears twice, in Luke 19:11 to 27, and in Matthew 25:14-30. Though the detail different, both versions narrate the same story. A master was set to travel distant land. But before his trip, he called three of his servants and gave them each a talent according to their ability. To the first servant, he gave 5 talents. To the second, he gave 2. And just to the one, to the last servant. Then he went on his journey. Note, he gave each one according to their ability, where according to the word, God also gave us a measure of faith. And as we proceed forward, we will see whether they were exercising confidence or courage or neither, but we shall see. The first servant went and put their money to work, while the last dug a hole in the ground and hid what he received. So we can see the first two servants took the gifts and talents and operated in the faith and having the courage to move forward, while the last servant may have had courage, but he did nothing with his talents. But he lacked confidence to use his talents in the way the master intended. When the master came back, he asked the servant what became of the talents he gave him. The first was probably reply that he gained 5 talents more with what the master had given him. The second also earned 2 more talents from the initial 2 he received. When the third servant came forward, he told the master what he did and claimed that he didn't do it what he needed to do because he was afraid. He did what he did, which is hide it in the ground, if you will, out of fear. Obviously, the master wasn't very happy with the first two servants. As a reward for what he did, he put them in charge of more things and invited them to share in his happiness. As for the third servant, he took the talent from him and banished him from his home. See, the parable concludes with Jesus saying that those who have will be given more, while those who have nothing, everything will be taken away from them. Like any parable, these seems like an ordinary story about a master and his servant, but what the message does, Jesus wants to tell us through this parable, is some certain things. Let's look at it. First, decoding the parable. For centuries, the parable of talents has been interpreted in various ways. Most of the time, the perspective changes depending on who's doing the interpretation. But to get to the bottom of prayer, we need to decode it. What is a talent? In Jesus' time, talents is used as a unit of weight equivalent to about 80 pounds. But when used as currency, 1 talent is about 6,000 denarii or denarii. A standard Roman coin that is usual payment for day's labor. So during those times, 1 talent is equivalent to 16 years worth of labor. With this, we can understand why the master was outraged when the servant didn't make use of something that he could have probably used for the rest of his life. You see, we understand that the graves are filled with talents and abilities that never get used. See, throughout the parable, Jesus gives detail that gives us a clue on what he wants us to take away from this. Here is some of the interpretation of Cyril from the parable. 1, the master's journey. If it isn't obvious by now, the master represents Jesus. He talks about him going on a journey, which is clearly a reference to his impending return to his father's side. His return obviously refers to the second coming. The master asking the servant about what became of the talent is Jesus telling us that when he comes again, we will have to have an account for what we did with our given gifts and what he had gave us. You see, the master-servant relationship in Jesus' time is not uncommon for the master to entrust their servant with a large sum of money, but as we learn, 1 talent is 16 years worth of payment. That amount in today's dollars would be over $1 million. And with this, we can see how much trust the master has for his servant to give them such a huge amount. See, God entrusts us with gifts and talents. Some have more, some have less. But at the end of the day, whatever we have, and this is why we have to be appreciative of what we have and not be searching for what we don't have in the sense of complaining or jealousy or envy, but take what we have and maximize on it. Part of the servant, they could have run away with the money, you see, but they didn't. or do what the third servant did and save them the hassle of investing the money. In other words, many people don't want to do the work. Faith without works is dead. It is so significant in our lives that as we exercise faith, we have to put the work into it. That validates that when we're talking and professing our faith, that when we put the work behind it, that we support it ourselves, and we trust that God will provide all we need. You see, remember Moses, who didn't feel that he had what it took to invest, if you will, the money, certain skills and gifts that were given by the master, God himself. See, Moses questioned himself, and we talked about in another session, Moses questioned his ability to perform. Oh, I can't speak well. What if the people don't listen? So he could have stood down. But one thing we have to give Moses, he did move forward because God continued to persist and give him Aaron when it came down to speaking, and as he moved forward in courage, if he didn't have the confidence, he began to see what his skills and ability as God worked through him through the Holy Spirit to allow him to become victorious and achieve the mission, the plan that God has for his life. So what can we learn from the parables of the talents? Hallelujah. This parable may have been written 1,000 years ago, but that doesn't mean it's not relevant today. Yes, I know we shudder at the concept of the master and the servant because of the connotation which is outdated, as well in many cases irritating to people to even hear master and servant, master and slave. But there's a lesson remains true no matter how many centuries have passed. And here are some of the key takeaways we can use as I talked about building a strong foundation and confidence as well as encourage now. One, success is not possible without taking risks. Again, when you step up in courage, you are taking a risk. The third servant is a basic example of what happens when we are too afraid to take risks. We won't operate in the courage. As I always tell my soldiers, I'll take the hill. That didn't mean that I didn't have any, if you will, reverent type fear. The hill, because I had the confidence that God was with me, he would never leave me or forsake me, and that God had his personal angel with me, and I had access to legions of angels to go forward and take that hill. No matter when the mortars, the rockets, the small arm fires were coming, I went forward in that confidence and the courage to do what I was called to do. This is what we have to. You have to be willing to take risks. If we don't take the risk, we may not gain anything. If we don't take the risk, we won't gain anything because of the fact we're not willing to do anything. In other words, when we harbor our gifts and talent due to lack of confidence and the courage to move forward, we can't attain the success without passing our terror, because we can't get past our terror of fear. But take into account all the variables that may be risky, but operate in the reverent type field about all the risks that may manifest along the way. In other words, like the father who taught the young son about the potato, the egg, and the coffee, he gave him an illustration. He gave him instructions to prepare him for what life would do. And if you did do certain things, you might get weakened. But if you did other things, you might get stronger. And then you would learn, as we would say in the army, to adapt and overcome. See, I'm a true believer in being, the young people say, keep it real, keep it 100. I like that because there's a reality. I know that we're spiritual beings housed in the body having an earthly experience, but the reality of it is that we will deal with things that will concern us, that will generate fear and doubt. Peter, even though he walked the water, he had confidence in God. He had courage. But once he got off God and kept his mind away from, didn't keep his mind on thee, he lost his courage and fear kicked in. That's that terror of fear. But he understood the importance of reaching out to God and said, Lord, help me. See, that's why God wants us to always depend on him. You see, in everything we do, we must seek to glorify God. The faithfulness of the two servants, despite their master's absence, is a testament to their commitment to glorify their master. Everything we do should be glorified our Heavenly Father, even if he isn't in the physical presence where we can tangibly touch him. They use their talents to do what he would have them to do. The same goes for us. Everything we do, we must seek to glorify God. We must seek ye first his kingdom and all his righteousness. So all that we need, all that we need to do will be added. We must use what he has given us according to his purpose. This goes back to David and Moses. David could have fared into the terror of fear as Saul's soldiers and his brothers did. But he took his talents of using the slingshot, the fire rock, to step into what everyone else feared with his confidence in the Lord and the courage to step into the danger. David moved forward and received his recompense of reward. His increase came from being a servant for Saul and eventually becoming one day a king, but he was already a servant for God. You see, servant for God. See, God is going to work through man. As the scripture tells, given shall be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, mission given to our bosom. We think sometimes that is tangible dollars and cents, but the reality of it is that every human being, as I told the gentleman and councilman today, every human being will be your life lesson. The experience you have with someone will be your life lesson. As I always like to say, when I eat, you don't get fat. So every experience that I have is my experience. When I eat chicken, you ain't tasting it. When I eat chicken, you ain't gaining weight. When I eat chicken, your stomach ain't rumbling. It may be if you're hungry, but ain't rumbling because I just digest that chicken. That's my experience. That's why when people go to the movie, they have different experience. When people go to restaurants, say, ooh, that restaurant's the best. That restaurant is good. But when you go, they be like, this sucks. Because it's your personal experience. And that's what we have to recognize, that as we move forward, we have to trust God that he's going to work through our personal experience, but he will provide the resources we need in order to go forward and do what he called us to do, as Christ so did. Despite the disciples around him, he had to move forward in God's will. He had to move forward what he was brought here to do. He had to move forward despite the experience that he was having with his disciple who would keep falling asleep. He could not let that be a deterrent. See, that could have broke his confidence. That could have broke his ability to operate in courage. But he did not, because he kept his mind on thee. See, God's confidence is different than Hollywood's version of confidence and courage. You see, I watch a lot of old Westerns, and they talk about confidence and courage in the sense of what a man is. But the reality of it is that when they place a given situation, we also see how what a human is. And some of them, as I like to say, will shake like Don Knox. But when we operate in the confidence of God, and we operate in the courage that God is with us, who gives us this courage, we can move forward to be victorious in whatever he assigns us to do according to his will. You see, each of us have God-given talents. Just as each servant received a different amount of talents, we too are given diverse skills and ability. You may not be born to sing or to dance, but surely there's something you're good at. After all, we can't all be singers and dancers. But being good at reading or other people's emotions is a talent. Even having nice, neat handwriting is a talent. It's up to us how we make use of the God-given talents that is suited for his purpose for our life. God's rewards depends on our efforts. The parable of the master rewards and the two servants but the last one was punished. The last one was punished because he then moved forward in the God-given gifts and ability like the first two did. He allowed, maybe he had confidence in the master, but he allowed his lack of courage to step up to the plate. We get rewarded for good things we do and punished for every bad act, for many actions. That is why when we do good to others and use God-given talent to make life better for others, we receive more blessings. And sometimes there's a reality. Sometimes you may not get the blessing in the form or the way you thought it was going to come. But there are blessings coming every day. As I always like to say, every given situation in life can either be a life lesson or a life curse. Again, we have to decide how we're going to choose. So in all ways, before we wrap up, and then next week we'll close this out, confidence and courage from the soldier perspective. Confidence, courage is like Siamese twins of faith. Confidence and courage comes together like the Siamese twins, conjoined, connected. Like human Siamese twins, they are joined together that one affects the other, and if separated without true knowledge and discernment, it could have a lasting effect on either of the individuals. This is likened to us as individuals. We can have confidence but lack courage, and we can have courage but lack confidence. We can cause us to make fearful decisions, that terror fear, that consists of reactive responses versus proactive decisions. We need to totally be dependent on God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit to move in the spirit and not in the flesh. And as Jesus, he could have moved, you see, we know that Jesus could have moved in the flesh, which because he the essence of his lack of trust and belief in God. But Jesus also understood that moving in the spirit, he would be more victorious to overcome the weakness of the flesh. When we are given the spirit of power, love equips us with a sound mind, which should cause us to have confidence and courage in any given situation. Therefore, when we trust God, the surgeon, he will do the spiritual surgery that will allow confidence to provide his power and courage for us to use the power to be overcomers in this life. This is a journey, and every day, as I said, life is nothing but problems and solutions, some greater and lesser. But when we operate in the confidence and the courage that God wants us to have, then we can become overcomers in this life. We truly can be victorious in all that we do. And that is significant why we should not cast away our confidence in our Lord and Savior. So in always imparting, the main thing that's significant for us is that we do the ABCs. We accept Christ, we believe in Christ, and we confess to the world that we are turning from our old ways and allowing Christ to move us into the renewing of our mind, our heart, and soul so that we can follow the will of God. It's not rocket science. It's not something that you got to go and do major research about. But in the process of that, once you accept Christ, then the work begins. As I said earlier, faith without works is dead. So it's significant and it's important that as we go forward, we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ died for us and that we can be saved. See, once we do this, we can renounce the old life and Satan can we can close the doors on Satan's devices and trickery that has basically kept us away from God for years. And once we begin, as the man said in the song, that's when your life begins to change. Now, again, change is subtle. Influence is subtle. So we have to let patience have its perfect work. We cannot go with this grand idea. And I know sometimes, as I've said among many ministries, sometimes we create such an absolute that it prevents people from coming closer to God. But once we recognize the importance that God is molding us, God is taking this rock like a sculptor, and he's chipping away all those things that prevented us from being great to the point at some point at some time we would become that masterpiece. And once we become that masterpiece in God, there's a different level of value that we take on. This is so significant. Because too many people are devaluing themselves. And as you devalue yourself, your confidence and courage fades like smoke from a cigarette. So it's important. So next week we're going to pick up where we left off here to close this out. And hopefully we're gaining something that when we wake up in the morning, we won't be casting our confidence away. Oh, no, we will be able to step up with courage. And we will begin to become who God intended us to be, one moment at a time. Operating with the level of the faith the size of a mustard seed that will begin to move the mountains, the storms, the waves out of our life. Out of our life, and maybe more will come, but we'll be better prepared. It is important, as the scripture tells us, steady to show thyself approved, the right to divide the word of truth, a workman that need not be ashamed. We are ready to go forward and do what we have to do. Like the five bridesmaids, we have gathered our oil and ready for Christ's return. In the meantime, we do like my man said, we go out and we go door to door, letting people know that we're just sharing the news about somebody who can save anybody, which is Jesus Christ. And always in closing, if you want to join our team at Kingdom Builder Development Institute, you can contact us either by email at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com, or you can call the home office at 313-583-9739. And as always, give it to the ministry at www.giveify.com spelled G-I-V-E-R-5.com. ELIFY.com. This and everything that we're doing with the leadership of Pastor Teresa and Elder QT, we are now moving in the direction to do some great things. This is 2022. The greatness is about to flow through you. You have to have this confidence. You know, I was on the plane returning from Florida. I'm looking out in the window, and I'm seeing we're above the clouds. Now, I kept looking around to see if there was anybody's hands holding this plane up. I kept looking to see were there any strings holding this plane up, and I never saw them. But yet, everybody on this plane, I don't know if they're believers or weren't believers, but everybody's on this plane with the confidence, and they put in man that he's going to get us to our destination. But I recognize that and believe that there are those who do believe God through faith, that God's hand is always there. And we operate every day with this level of faith that we don't give credit to, that seed of faith that God put in us, that measure of faith that God put in us. All we have to do is cultivate and develop it, and as I told the gentleman today, be ready like a farmer to get ready for the harvest. If you can trust what man say, I was reading an article, and they were talking about the different things for the COVID, vaccine, and it was telling all the different things could happen. So you read this, and I've noticed people around when they read it, you know, I can see fear, I can see confidence, I can see faith, I can see certain things as the Spirit allows me to. But yet we believe what they wrote. And none of us are L scientists that go and break down anything. So again, we're operating out of faith. We operate out of confidence. But if we put this same level of confidence in God's word where he tells us it is life unto us to find it, oh, we can be the change agents that will be the difference that make a difference in each of our lives. And as always, iron sharpens iron. Brothers and sisters, I say this from the heart. Let us truly move forward in our life and confidence in God, and exercise the courage that he puts in us to go forward and do his will one day at a time. As Paul would say, daily I pray, daily I put my body in subjection, and daily I die to sin. As we move forward daily, let's move forward daily to have the God confidence and the God courage to be victorious of the plan he gives us. And as always, in pardon, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let us watch with confidence and courage the greatness that God is going to do in our lives. Have a blessed week.
But I know a change gonna